The day that the rain smelled like ice cream, my bunny went to heaven in front of my eyes. The day that the copper pipes in the old building smelt like burnt food, my brother went to heaven in front of my eyes. I couldn't save them. It's sad. Neither one had the chance to become an adult. They should have become adults. They should have had children of their own and loved those children. And I want to make that possible for other people. And I want to make a lot of money so that I can have a television.
Dr. Murphy, there is no way you'll be working at this hospital. I have no idea what you're talking about. Get out. And Glassman, you are fired as the president of the hospital. Hi, everyone. So today we're going to be talking about HouseMD and The Good Doctor. The reason for that isn't totally random. For anyone who's aware of both shows, and you probably are because you're listening to this, both House and The Good Doctor are products, are shows written and created by David Shaw. And more importantly, they're both medical dramas that surround an intriguing main character and a team of hopefully equally intriguing characters as well, as they explore their differences while trying to cure patients within a hospital. And two very similar concepts, but done very differently. And that's kind of why we wanted to talk about it, because we had actually been recommended The Good Doctor. I'd heard of it, but I didn't realize it was a David Shaw show. So I was like pretty excited to watch it. And Gaz, I told you about it, but I don't know if you were aware of The Good Doctor before we were told it was a David Shaw show.
I was aware of the show, but not as a David Shaw production slash kind of showrunner type thing. That was not known to me. But I did see that the show had an interesting premise, that it was someone who had a autism spectrum diagnosis and was a high-functioning autistic person. And that intrigued me, but I didn't really interrogate it further than that.
Yeah, it's weird that in the advertising it doesn't say from the creator of HouseMD, because that would definitely have got me watching it quicker.
I think it would have got me watching it because obviously I'm really interested in whatever he writes, because usually there's like some trademarks to those stories, and especially the fact that it's a medical procedural drama again. It's like he wants to re-examine, or it seemed to me that it would have been like a re-examination of some of the elements that made HouseMD pretty good. That's what would have been immediately cast into my mind.
Yeah, because you'd have thought, having worked on one for 8 years, that you might be like, wow, I hope to never work on a medical procedural ever again. But clearly David Shaw felt like there was more there. Either that, or he was kind of like typecast into that, but who knows? But I would watch pretty much anything David Shaw would make. He made HouseMD. He's clearly an extremely talented writer and showrunner. So so we did. We both sat down separately and watched it, and I'm now sort of casually watching it anyway. It's quite good, I think, overall. It's very watchable, I think is the word I'd use. But the fact that we started doing a podcast on House many years later, because we both think it's excellent, but we also think The Good Doctor is watchable, which I think is how you feel, Gaz, unless you feel drastically differently to it.
I do think it's watchable, but it does have good elements to it that are unique to the show, that aren't in House. So it's not like, yeah, but the quality is not, in my opinion, the same.
Yeah. Well, as you say, it's got a lot of things that it does differently to House. I think it also tries to emulate House in a lot of other ways. And I think that's where, that's the problem. If it had been totally original and like if it had not been a procedural, not focusing on set patients, if it like maybe had like a more, I don't know, maybe if the format had been different. But because everything is quite similar to that setup of House, it's very difficult to not compare them. which is a shame because subconsciously I don't want to do that. I've kind of had to remove that from my mind, but it is hard not to do subconsciously and not enjoy the show as much. I guess I'll kick off the discussion in that. So I just think that The Good Doctor is very sentimental. And I have I was saying this earlier, but I think what makes House interesting and distinct is that, so the shows are both of them, the Good Doctor and House, sort of the underlying theme is exploring how a doctor, someone who is doing a job that involves a lot of kind of like empathy and like connection to people, how someone who doesn't have that can still be a good doctor. And House kind of explores that with House. He kind of wants to be as objective as possible. He likes to remove himself from people. And The Good Doctor does it with Sean Murphy and his autism, being on the autistic spectrum, because he has like a medical condition that stops him from really understanding social cues. And kind of, but what I think it does and why The Good Doctor is so sentimental is that House obviously doesn't have any like medical reasons why he shouldn't be able to connect with people. It's kind of a choice he's made, and through his bad decisions, he goes from a place where he should be able to connect people, like a good place, and he puts himself into a worse position. And there's a lot of drama and interest there because you're interested in why this character is making their life worse in a way. And then you have, it really deals with kind of the more negative side of life, like the bad decisions we make and the consequences they have. Whereas The Good Doctor is going in the opposite direction. It's putting someone in a bad position, like Sean Murphy, not being able to like connect with people. And then it's making him try and grow from there. So it's a much more traditional story of person is in a bad position and wants to be better and grow and develop as a person. And I think immediately what that causes is a much more sentimental and optimistic show, which if you go in thinking you're going to get like kind of House's like more gritty realism and sort of more existential questions, you're really not going to get that. And that may very well be my like fundamental problem with it. Because I just think it's not that sentimental is bad. I just think it's very heavy handed in the way that it handles that. But what do you think about it, Gaz? Sorry, I've just sort of like, do you agree with that, or do you think that the sentimental element is done well?
This is interesting, because what I like about your analysis is that it's trying to look at The Good Doctor as a kind of either a mirror or a kind of strange, like a different way of interpreting the medical procedural drama. Like they're two kind of, would you say that they're more like a mirror or an inversion, or what do you think when you look at the two?
Well, yeah, it's kind of, they're kind of like an inversion. It's like, it's the same kind of character study, but it's just done the other way around. One is like viewing the characters struggling, and the other one is viewing the characters becoming better people or trying to. There's, you know, there's lots of lessons in The Good Doctor. Lessons that you might tell children.
Okay.
And that's it. I don't think you'd give a lesson that you learn in House to a child. You wouldn't be like, everybody lies, no one is trustworthy, everyone is selfish and looking after themselves. And the end of the episode would confirm that. You'd like have an entire episode exploring that, and you would eventually like learn like, oh, people are quite selfish. But maybe there's like little glimmers of hope. Whereas The Good Doctor would have the same thing and then have like everybody be really nice or like not lie in the end and be trustworthy, and it'd be like, oh, life seems bad, but you know, everyone always pulls through, everyone's a good person. So it is pretty much an inversion of it, I think.
Okay, well, I'll take your inversion thing.
Okay,
because I think that's a good way to kind of base an analysis. And I've got like a slightly more kind of self-contained analysis of The Good Doctor.
Okay.
My feeling is with Sean Murphy's character as the central character, his central question is how can he operate in a profession that is highly social and it has these highly technical moments where he flourishes because of his talents as a surgeon. And then on the other hand, there are these social elements to medicine which make it that are a lot more difficult for him. And the key question is, how does he operate within that environment? And how does he cope within that environment, given his given the fact that he has autism, which is a spectrum of disorders that affect social functioning. And to me, that's quite an interesting thing, because we see in the first two or three episodes, it really does hit those questions. How does he deal with patients? How does he deal with people and authority? How does he deal with using a bedside manner? And how does he deal with the supremely high-functioning logical side of his mind, which kind of uses that inductive reasoning approach so well in particular situations where actually sometimes you need to kind of filter through the options more kind of on a base of intuition. So, for instance, in one of the episodes, I think in episode 3, don't quote me on that, though. he's basically been given the kind of scud work, like the like basic kind of runner work for doctors.
Yeah.
And basically he's been told, oh, well, he's given a patient. He then goes to the patient. He tries to triage the patient. And he kind of logically assumes that he has to do a whole barrage of tests to see whether the issue is what... whether they have the minor ailment, which is most probably the cause, or whether they could have extremely exotic ailments. And so he's asking for all these insane, like, coteries of tests, when actually that's not the case. Mm. But it then, during the episode, it twists it on its head when he finds that something that seems so simple actually isn't as simple as it seems, and that his actual... ability as a doctor and also as a surgical resident comes into play. And he finds this extremely ill person who's been not diagnosed, who could hasn't been diagnosed, a kid, and basically tracks them down, knocks on the door, gets threatened, and then manages to convince them that that the child needs treatment or she's going to die very quickly. Throughout the whole of the episode, it's just like, oh, Sean Murphy does not know how to deal with social interactions, and therefore he is in this problem of being so rigorous and so kind of systematic that he's unable to function properly as a doctor.
Good doctor.
But then he does, and then the freak thing happens. It shows his strengths. He saved someone's life. And that in and of itself means that he is a good doctor, I guess.
Well, it's quite weird as well, because it does kind of follow... there aren't many exotic problems in this show. It's much more... It doesn't really have singular patients. It has lots of patients. It's like dealing with lots of little human stories. But the interesting thing is that when Sean Murphy is like handling a complicated case and coming up with crazy solutions to problems, much like how House would, it's quite interesting the difference that Sean Murphy is just starting out in his career. So while House can say something a bit wacky and everyone questions him but takes his word for it because he's like renowned, Sean Murphy is just a guy.
Yeah.
He's like a new resident. And it's quite interesting the way the show handles that and shows him like not only dealing with like his like his inability to like understand people a lot, but also he's kind of dealing with the admin a lot more. It's not even the admin. I mean, it's just everyone. Like, he has no power in the hospital. It's like a total power inversion, which is pretty interesting. But I think I agree with the, like, the fact that like Sean Murphy's like central premise and problems is established really well. I actually really like the character of Sean Murphy. It's like very well played by the actor. I think his name's Freddie Highmore. And yeah, I think Sean Murphy's like great. I actually think it's everything around Sean Murphy which is the problem. I think that if you took the character of Sean Murphy and put him within the house team, that you would have a much more interesting show. I think that the Good Doctor, the show around Sean Murphy, is a lot more over dramatized and sentimental. And I think the example you just used, where like he says that a girl has a problem, everyone's like, no, send her home. And then like Sean Murphy runs to their house in the middle of the night, like knocks on the door. They argue, he runs upstairs, and there she is experiencing exactly the problem that he would have. Like in House, they would probably send the girl away and she'd return in an ambulance a few hours later, and House would be like, see, told you, Cuddy, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But this has to be like, you know, really, like, you know, really dramatized. Like, oh God, Sean Murphy, will he make it into the house in time? The pilot is a great example of that. For anyone who hasn't seen the pilot, Sean Murphy, like, you know, he's coming to the hospital. On the way, a sign falls onto a child, and Sean Murphy, like, does really complicated surgery just in the nick of time. Very interesting scene, like, establishes Sean Murphy. But once again, a little bit over the top, but who knows. But then you have, like, you know, Sean Murphy's been hired for the hospital, but it's not as simple as he just turns up. There's an entire boardroom of people in the hospital arguing over him. The president of the hospital is yelling at everyone saying, Sean Murphy is a great doctor. You know, his disability doesn't matter. And it's not like Cuddy's office where people might be having a discussion, like Vogler and Cuddy might be having a little disagreement. It's like a huge boardroom with eight people. And then halfway through, somebody says something and somebody's like, you've always wanted his job. And there's drama there. And then like Sean Murphy arrives at the hospital with the person he saved in the airport. And he arrives at the hospital where he's due to work, but they won't let him in. So now he's locked outside and they're trying to solve the case, but Sean Murphy's not allowed in the hospital and there's this argument going on. And then there's like flashbacks as well to his childhood. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's somebody trying to turn up for work on their first day. And it just turns into this like, you know, race against time when like all he would have to do is just for somebody to recognize that he should work at the hospital. But the fact he's like locked outside, he can't get in. They're like, he's late for his interview, his second interview. He's having another interview with the whole board watching. And depending on what he says, we'll decide whether or not he gets the job, even though he's been offered the job. It's like, just let him turn up at the hospital and like maybe have some people have a problem with him throughout the episodes. And then maybe in like the fourth episode, they're like, right, we're having a meeting because Sean Murphy shouldn't work here. But it has to be in the first episode. It's like this super intense. This is your interview. State your case.
Yeah, like a courtroom drama. It's happened before, remember, in season one of kind of towards the end of season one of House, where it was the whole, should House stay or should House go? Vogler will decide.
Yeah, exactly. But that was like six episodes of build-up.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, people turning each other against each other. It was slow. And even the boardroom, it's like Vogler sitting there calmly saying, I can't believe we're complimenting Vogler. I think that says a lot.
Jesus Christ. I'm not. You speak for yourself. I mean,
I'm complimenting Vogler, the Vogler scenes over this, because it's like, you know, you've got Vogler sitting at the table saying, it's either me or House. And then people like state their case. But this is like, it feels like a proper courtroom. It's like this huge room with like people sitting at this table, just like, yeah, it doesn't feel like a real place at all. And obviously we then have the quote that Gaz said at the beginning, which, I mean, that entire thing is that throughout flashbacks, we've seen like Sean Murphy, like, his abusive background, like how he ran away with his brother, how his brother died, how like his father killed his bunny rabbit. And we kind of, like, I think that those are very, like, those are very important for establishing the character quickly. I don't have any problems with flashbacks. I think it does a good job. But it's like, then Sean Murphy stands up and, like, his speech is in the context of having known all those flashbacks. Like, I don't think if somebody was like, I don't trust this person as a doctor, and then they stand up and say, when the rain smelled like ice cream, my bunny died, they'd just be like, get out of here. What are you talking about? But the show is like so sentimental that everyone's like smiling, and it's like, what's going on? It's a tone that does not resonate with me.
Yeah.
And I think the show drops that, and then it gets into more of a, the sentimentalism then becomes like Sean Murphy goes like, he's a bit, it's like, I don't understand like love. And then somebody goes, love is the most important thing in the world, Sean, or something like that. It's like they teach him like a really optimistic lesson about like connection. And then he like connects with someone later, and it's sort of like lesson. And then that's reinforced by action. That's kind of how it is. And I can deal with that. But the like, the over-dramatization, I think, is crazy.
Yeah, there's a similar thing where they're racing against time to get this...
racing against time always.
what is it? Is it a kidney?
It's a liver, I think.
Liver, yes, it's a liver. And they've only got a certain amount of time. The box is getting warm. It's all going crazy. Yeah.
The helicopter breaks down.
The helicopter can't fly because there's some sort of wind or something coming in.
Well, they arrive in a helicopter. They just want to go back to the hospital. They can't take the helicopter. They have to, like, take a taxi. But there's traffic. And, oh, no, the box is leaking. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Continue the race against time.
Well, that's basically it. It's like, oh, it's catastrophe. And he spots a clot or something. They have to do surgery on the liver in a convenience store. And it's like, oh my God, there. And then all of this is going on. There are like these memories that he's having, like vivid memories about his life. And also partner in crime. She's kind of struggling to interact with Sean Murphy as a person, and figures out for a moment that he doesn't like being asked questions. Although that kind of gets retconned at some point. And earlier, I think. Anyway, it gets all very baffling, and like things just go doo 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 doo. Just everything's going. It's like I understand it's trying to create a sense of intensity. In the same sense that Sean Murphy might be having, traversing this highly socialized environment as a savant, but Jesus, it's tough. Now, on top of that, you got all these superimposed graphics of like, oh, I've remembered where the vein or the artery is in the liver that I need to cut. And it's just, there's a lot of sensory overload for me as a viewer that I could do without.
Yeah.
Because I think the essential message of the show, which is that people with extraordinary abilities, despite things that may inhibit certain aspects of their lives, can do extraordinary things, is a good message. But when it's kind of just, there's a focus on the kind of showiness of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of saying it.
It just goes, well, actually, I just want to see more of Sean Murphy dealing with the problem, dealing with things, because that's actually the really important part. That's the core of the show. Richard Schiff, like, making an inspirational thing. It's like, if we don't have him in the hospital, then I'll leave, because there's no point having a hospital if we can't have great people in it, even if they have disabilities. And it's just like, we don't need that.
Yeah, Dr. Glassman,
President Glassman.
President of the hospital, which yeah. That sounded like such a made-up title. It's like, yeah. But apparently, Dean of Medicine sounds like a title, but I am the president of the hospital. I don't know, it's just like, it's very it all seems very simplistic.
But it must be a thing. I've never come across it. I guess we live in a less kind of privatized healthcare system, and therefore we don't come across that sort of insane title, like chairman of the hospital or president of the hospital, as if it's like a little nation state.
Yeah.
Or a giant conglomeration or something.
So go on, Glassman's given his speech, and that makes you feel...
It just makes me feel a little bit kind of... This is over-egging it a little bit. Richard Schiff is a great actor, by the way. Oh, he's phenomenal in The West Wing. I have maximal kudos for him and respect. But have him give an inspirational speech in the first pilot was just like, why is this happening? And then also then it was like introducing all these plot points in the first episode, like, you know, he's after your job, and I'm only trying to protect you, or this person's kind of bad and this person's kind of okay, but he's a bit bad too. Everything was really on the nose. Much like the original pilot of House MD, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, completely. But it was, yeah, but I think a lot of that, like, that's fixed in the second episode. Yes. And on top of that, it's also, I think on top of that, because House isn't so in your face in other ways, it's not so over the top. It's not like House is trying to cure the teacher, but someone's stolen his car. And it's got the liver that the teacher needs in the boot.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like the sum of its worst parts.
Wow.
It's like,
that's an indictment and a half. We're never going to get David Shore on this show.
No, I know, and I'd love to. But maybe we just won't talk about The Good Doctor. But well, the thing about Sean Murphy is as well, like, what makes it slightly different to House is, and this is a big problem, I think, with just the structure of it, is that Sean Murphy, like, yeah, so Sean Murphy, I really like the way that he's portrayed, and I think he's, like, written very well. And I think the reason why he doesn't stand out is because Sean Murphy is... He's very much like an observer, and he's a bit like House in the sense that he's quiet and he does things through action. And so, like, in that sense, like, Sean Murphy isn't like a very strong character, right? Like, a lot of it is, you know, like, Sean Murphy is a great doctor, but will the way that people view him and his, like, personal problems, his medical issues, get in the way of that? And the show's, like, very enlightening, and it's a very, like, nice story of how he overcomes that and helps other people overcome it and overcome the prejudice that they have. But because of that, he's, like, because it's people reacting to him and him asking questions of people and then them responding and him kind of, like, being in a lower position of power in the hospital and watching things happen around him, he's quite a, like, he's a main character that's not, like, quite as in-your-face as House. And so a lot of the show kind of rests on how strong the rest of the cast are. And I don't think the cast is hugely strong in this. They're very good actors, but I don't really think they're given a lot to work with. There's, like, the two main doctors are, like, friends with benefits. They kind of discuss that. And one doesn't really want to connect, and one does. It's very, like, simplistic. It's not massively interesting. And, like, but this is the thing. I think that if House had been a weak character, that House MD wouldn't have been a very good show, because I don't think that, like Cameron, Chase and Foreman for, like, the first season, or at least the first half of the season, would have been good enough to have carried that. Like, if you replace Sean Murphy with Dr. House, I don't think that, like, Cameron, Chase and Cuddy or anyone would have, like, made that show great. House really drove that show.
Yes.
Especially in the early seasons. And I think that's the problem with it. It's like, it's a show that is about a main character who isn't, you know, because of his nature, because of the fact that he's, like, you know, isn't really, he's asking a lot of questions. He's trying to understand things. He isn't really a very forceful character. And it's a bit of an ensemble piece, and I just don't think the ensemble cast, like, are that strong.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're that strong in, like, the House pilot either, or a lot of the House first season. So it's, so, like, the problem with the show is that it's pretty much got a lot of the problems as House, but Gregory House himself was so great that he could kind of pull it out in a lot of ways.
Like you said before, I think also the ensemble cast is, yeah, there are those issues there, but also the cast is a little, like, not the actors, no, I mean the actual characters just feel a little bit more explosive and melodramatic in ways that the supporting cast of House were not.
Hmm.
They had weird, like, House, the kind of, the diagnostic team in House MD are, like, kind of slightly neurotic weirdos.
Yeah.
A little bit. They have all got their weird little idiosyncrasies, and you could see them already. And it was a little bit more intimate because the kind of surrounding cast is quite small.
Mm.
In this, it's the amount of threads of different characters interacting with each other over things all the time, especially in the early season, is very high. Like, there are four, many different, I haven't really counted them, but there are many different shenanigans going on within the hospital, which probably captures the frenetic and highly socialized elements of a hospital, but it doesn't necessarily lend itself to storytelling.
Yeah, well, they're a lot busier.
They're all, like, super busy, and I kind of get that they want to represent that, and in that way they do that very well. But it means that there has to be some kind of cost for that benefit. And I think it's just trying to streamline the story so that you can create something with, like, a singular thematic focus, which doesn't have all these kind of undulating, like, constant undulating arcs going underneath them, even early on, where, you know, for instance, like, is Dr. Marcus Andrews. He's got a subplot where he's trying to oust Dr. Glassman. And he wants to become the president.
Of the hospital.
Yes. He wants to take over from Dr. Aaron Glassman. He wants to become president. And he's trying to, like, bring all these alliances together to make sure that he becomes the president. So he's kind of lobbying the chairwoman, the president, Allegra Aoki. And that's all going on. And it just, and then it involves other people. So Dr. Melendez is kind of under pressure from Marcus Andrews to give Sean Murphy a load of crap so that he'll mess up. And then they can get rid of Sean Murphy, and then they can oust Aaron Glassman. You see what I mean? And then Melendez is then, like, talking to Claire Brown, who's a surgical resident, and Jared Kalu, who's also a surgical resident, and he's kind of trying to disperse all the pressure across them. He's not allowing Sean Murphy to do surgery. It's just becoming a complete hot mess by the end.
Whereas, yeah.
Like, who's, like, everybody's... Blah, 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 blah.
It's kind of dropped in, like, three episodes as well.
Yeah.
Within three episodes, Melendez is like, I respect you as a doctor, even though in the first episode he went, you're incompetent and you'll never do anything.
Yeah, it's just like, what? Okay, fine.
Well, like, Dr. Jared Kalu, right? He's a good comparison to Chase.
Hmm.
Okay, two people that come from
wealthy families.
Two people that come from, like, very prominent, very, like, well-off families. But, oh, it, you know, everything's not so good as it looks, and you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. And I think by the end of season one, by the time we meet Chase's father, we get a really good sense that Chase is, like, you know, childhood maybe wasn't that good. By episode, like, three, Dr. Jared Kalu has sat down and somebody's like, why are you like the way you are, Jared? And he says, well, you see, I grew up with a family and, you know, and then he tells this, like, emotional story about the time he, like, you know, left home, or he came home and they'd all moved away months ago and no one had told him, so he doesn't know where his family is. And at that point, it's like, oh, okay, well, I know everything there is to know about Jared.
Job done.
But and then from there, like, he doesn't have any weird neuroses. It's not like he, it's not like he's like unable to connect with people or something. He like wants a relationship with Claire Brown. He's being quite forthwith. He's being quite a normal, like, functioning person. And it's like, you have this trauma, but you're not doing anything with it. It's just an interesting story that he tells. And I think that's like the weakness of it as well. Like, the show doesn't really want to take any time with anything or dwell on anything. Like, you know, we're in season two talking about House MD and we're still like, we don't know that much about Chase, but I know everything there is to know about Jared Keller by like the third episode. And it's like the show was so nervous about you being bored that it just told you everything.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. It, there is like this nervous energy of saying, are you, you're not bored, are you? Because here's something we're going to reveal to you right now. And it'll be like a memory or a backstory. It's like, okay, yep, got it. Thank you very much. Yeah, I would have liked to have had a bit more of a slow burn to the characters.
Yeah, same thing with Claire Brown. Like, Jared Keller is trying to court her. She just wants some sex. She's like, I don't want to be open about my feelings. I'm not open about my feelings. I think in like maybe episode three, again, she like sees a patient die. She connects with them and then she sits down with Jared and he's like, do you want to open up about your feelings? She's like, yes. And it's like, I guess that's the end of that arc then.
Yeah.
Are we already over that? Like, it's like 20 episodes, guys. Take some time. Because I think what they start trying to do, and I've seen a bit further into season one, is they try and cause problems by just making Sean Murphy's life worse. Which, I think, you know, he's already struggling with enough. Like, he's struggling against the entire administration of the hospital and trying to prove himself. But because they keep making him overcome that so quickly, because very quickly people see his inherent value and talents, that they kind of have to make external problems happen to him.
Yeah.
And I think that becomes, once again, it's a bit, it's not really taking its time. I don't really, you know, then it's just a show like watching Sean Murphy on the ground just getting the shit kicked out of him. And it's like, you know, what would be more interesting is, you know, to use a really bad analogy, would you rather watch a show about someone, you know, being kicked on the floor for 10 hours? Or would you rather watch a show where somebody comes into the room and they go, oh, they've got bruises over them. What happened? And then you discover what happened.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in both instances, they got kicked on the floor, but one is more interesting than the other. And I just think The Good Doctor just rushes everything. And then, like, you know, and I don't think any of the characters, you know, they're all very well portrayed. This is the thing. This is the problem between, it's sort of like season 8 of Game of Thrones. It's like there's a big difference between the writing and the portrayal and the acting. And all of that's really good. And I think in a way that's why Sean Murphy kind of gets away with it, because I think Sean Murphy, because he's like, he's got so much focus on him and he's very much a character who we see, he doesn't really say a lot. We see lots of scenes of him just in his home, just dealing with a problem. And like the performance is there. There's a lot of time spent on it. And you're like, wow, I really kind of get Sean Murphy. But everyone else is just talking in sentimentalities and like just, and stories. And
I know it's kind of, the point is that Sean Murphy is the most human of all. But I think they do that for an unintentionally kind of over-remoting everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, there's such contrast.
Mm.
And that doesn't represent, in my opinion, the subtleties of human behaviour. But
that's, yeah, very unsubtle, I think, is another good phrase to sum it up.
Mm. But it's not as acerbic as House, which is what I like about it, which is different. And I like that about The Good Doctor, is that it's not as acerbic. It's not as bitter sweet or just plain bitter sometimes. Just have sweetness to it. Although we've been criticizing that sometimes it's a little bit kind of like a parable every episode. It actually is a little bit more optimistic, which is, I guess, an interesting development. I don't want to completely crap on this show. It's got its qualities.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching it and I'm enjoying it, but it's not leaving any like lasting impressions, and I really think that's it. It's the kind of TV that you can turn on, enjoy, and turn off. But it's But, you know, if I didn't watch it ever again, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't feel like I was missing out.
Okay.
So it's, I think that's it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of nostalgia with House, but that's why we've been trying to, like, not talk about our personal feelings of the show and, like, try and actually pinpoint things that the show, you know, is a bit rocky on. I mean, maybe it stops doing that as much, but for me, it's just a combination of everything's too rushed. I don't really get the sense the characters are real. I think that's it. I mean, it can be as sentimental as it wants, but because it's sentimental and rushed, it just feels like, yeah, it just kind of feels that everyone's just telling everyone how they're feeling all the time. It's got very much a House pilot problem with it. It's everyone just reading into each other and just saying what everyone's thinking. And it's very bland. And then there's other things like, I mean, the episode 2 you mentioned where, like, Claire can't communicate with Sean because he, like, doesn't like being talked to in questions. Seriously, watch the other episodes. Like, that only comes up when it's a problem for them. Like, Claire asks him several questions in the first episode and he answers perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And then it's even during that episode, she's, like, so upset that she can't communicate with him. It's like, it's been 2 hours, just chill out. Like, if it had been, like, 2 months and she'd be like, I'm getting really frustrated with the way that I can't connect with him. But it's been, like, 2 hours. It's like, just sit in the car and don't chat. Don't worry about it. Like, talk to him later. Maybe he's a bit stressed out. That's what I mean. It's just everything is such a rush. Yeah. And it's just very tiresome after a while.
But, are you excited yet? Are you excited yet? Are you excited yet? Are you excited yet? That is basically what it does sometimes. And it can be so tiring to watch because of that. Yeah. Especially when you want to really focus on the characters. You know? Yeah, and that's what I want to do most, like, first and foremost in these sorts of TV dramas.
Completely. And there's, like... But House in that sense is more consistent. It's like, oh, House always diverts things when people become emotional. There's not like an episode where somebody's like trying to be emotional, House is diverting. They're like, House, why are you diverting? Why are you changing the subject?
Yeah.
He's like always doing that. It's like a part of his character. It's not just something that's brought up because the drama needs to exist. It's
habitual.
Yeah. And it's just a shame because, like, really, people seem to love it. And that's absolutely fantastic. But I really think if anybody is thinking of watching it or something like that, you're not quite in for that kind of more, you know, kind of slow burn drama. It's very much like, you know, here it is now, have it. We'll be dealing with something else next episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say it's not... In my opinion, it's not as good as House, but it's okay. It has a few faults. Is this the result of contemporary current state of television? I don't know. I'm probably not worth interrogating that thought because it will probably lead to some insane conclusions, but the kind of fast-paced cutting and the need to constantly stimulate seems indicative of something.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like, you know, in House season 1 where they're like, CGI exists, let's have loads of CGI.
Yeah. Overlaid graphics.
Put loads of pictures and words on the screen so we know what he's thinking.
Ah! he has the near perfect recall.
Let's recall everything on the screen at the same time. Because I don't really think it, like, captures how he's thinking. Like, he isn't thinking like that.
Yeah.
I agree. It's good. It's fine. It's good. It's just but yeah. It's just a shame compared to House. But they are made very far apart from each other. And but there's like a lot of adult, like, Good Doctor's clearly made for adults, and that's what's weird. It's not like, I mean, it's made for a different audience, but it's not like it's made for a different age range or anything. It's not like it's like a young adult TV show. They're clearly made for the same kind of people. So maybe...
But the people have aged. The people who watched House then, the demographic was for them. They've aged out of that demographic. Now the new demographic that fits that age group is different. They're from a different generation, have different jumping off points.
It's very true. And I guess, as you say, maybe that's just the state of... maybe that's just it fitting to the culture of the time. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I kind of think.
But we've grown out of that, Gaz.
Have we? We're the perfect demographic for this show. We're actually worst demographic for House.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, we were watching House illegally. It's 15.
Oh, my
You're
God.
You're 13. Don't watch it.
Both. And yeah, I was older than you, so I was all right. I was a legal watcher.
You were legal.
Yeah.
I was barely legal. But I think, yeah, well, but yeah, it was good to talk about The Good Doctor with you guys. Sorry if anybody turned up and it just sounded like us slagging off The Good Doctor, because we do like The Good Doctor. I'd recommend it. You might like it, but, we're very much like, in these little extra episodes, we kind of like to talk about lots of things to do with House, and talking about another show with the same format by the same creator seemed like a good place to go. And if you wanted a recommendation, well, I'm not sure you got it, but you got at least, you know, if you were watch the show and weren't really sure why you didn't like it, maybe we helped with that.
But who also knows? Maybe I would say just check it out.
Yeah,
see what
absolutely
you'll see at least similarities in some of the ways that David Shaw tackles the production of a medical procedural drama. I would say don't expect it to be like House. And if you enjoy House for its own kind of idiosyncrasies and those idiosyncrasies alone, you're probably not going to like Good Doctor that in that way. But
yeah,
that being said, the acting by Freddie Highmore is phenomenal. Worth a watch.
Freddie Highmore is worth the price of entry.
Yes.
He's very good in it, and it really is like that. You'll have noticed I had nothing bad to say about Freddie Highmore. I think he's excellent. I really think that it's because he relies so much on the other characters, and, you know, his journey is only as emotional as the way it's like formatted. That's where the high emotional impact is, and I just think it's too in your face. It's too sweet. I can't get into it, But yeah, I'm glad that we both liked Freddie Highmore in this. Sean Murphy is a very good character. He's very well written and interesting to watch.
Yeah. All right. Shall we leave it there then?
I think we'll leave it there. Well, there we go. There was your second dose of differential diagnosing. The patient is dead. but we got to the bottom of why.
We did an autopsy.
Yeah, maybe later we'll watch season two and we'll talk about that. Who knows? I'm sure we'll run out of ideas for DD Extra. We'll do bloody everything.
Well, my personal... if I'm going to lobby for any other series to do, that's a medical procedural, I'd go for the David Foster... not inspired, but David Foster's on the crew for this one, and it's New Amsterdam.
Yeah, one of our favourite House writers has another show about a medical drama. So definitely want to check out. I also really want to check out the Turkish version of House and like other international adaptations of House. It's definitely one to do as well.
I'd be happy to look at those.
Absolutely. We'll have to find them somewhere. But for now, we hope you enjoyed this differential diagnosis of The Good Doctor and House MD, the sort of earlier halves of both season ones, and we will see you on Monday for our differential diagnosis of episode 2 of season 2, Autopsy, and then who knows where we'll be.
Yeah,
we might have a nuclear war and I won't be able to upload any.
We'll still put it out.
Yeah No, I'll like just play it loudly from a dying phone out my window.
That and a transistor radio. We'll get one of those.
There we go. We'll go full on pirate radio. But until then, have a great week. And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
See you later.